Sunday afternoons, we've been going through the first chapter of the book of James, and so I'd like to go back to that. We're looking at this book that was written to Jewish Christians. By the way, when you look at verse 1 of James chapter 1, you'll notice that James is addressing this epistle to the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. There you go again, the 12 tribes. To say that 10 of them are lost, again, goes against Scripture. God knows who they are, and James is writing to those 12 tribes. So he's writing to these Jewish Christians who think that they're saved, and now that they're saved, their actions and their behavior doesn't matter. Not true. To the contrary, James contends that if you are a genuine believer, you will behave like a believer. And chapter 1 is how we behave in difficulty, the difficulty of trials. Some other words for the word trial: tests, examination, trials, tests. So in verse 2, your behavior will show in your disposition. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That will be your disposition. Verse 3, behavior will show in your discernment, knowing, the word knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, your behavior will show in your development, that is in your maturity, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Verse 5, your behavior will show in your deficiency. You're going to understand that you lack something. You're deficient in something. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verses 9 through 11, your behavior will show in your delight. Let the brother of low degree rejoice. He delights in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Today we get to verse 12. And here we see that your behavior will also show in your doctrine. That is what you teach about your trials by how you act. Not by what will you say, but by how you act. Let's look at that. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now that's the same word you find in verse 2, temptations. It's actually trials. Blessed is the man that endureth trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So here we see that your doctrine is in the difficulty of trials and the proving of it. The proving. You say, where do you find the word proving in verse 12? It is actually the word tried. When he is proven, he shall receive the crown of life. So let's look at this proving in verse 12. Two things about this. And Sunday afternoons are short, so just two things. Number one, the privilege. Let's look at this privilege. Again, the word temptation is trials or hardships or examinations, testings. And it says, blessed is the man who endureth those tests or those trials. He does not resist these trials. He endures them. The word endurance means to remain under. Now, what's the prayer request that we typically have when we are undergoing some kind of a trial, at least a physical trial? We want to pray for that person so that the trial will go away, right? That person will be healed, right? That the car that you're having problems with, that that will be taken care of, and that trial will go away. And that's not that we shouldn't or can't pray for that. But what James is saying here is, blessed is the man who endures them. That doesn't mean that you purposely stay under it. But yet your attitude is not that you're trying to run from the trial, but you're remaining under. That's literally what the word endureth means. I remain under it. And what is that man? What's the very first word of verse 12? Out loud, please. He's blessed. The one that is who stays under, doesn't run from it. He's blessed. Give me some other words for blessed. Let me give them to you. Happy. Fortunate. Just doesn't seem to make sense. But that's the man who remains under, who does not run from his trials. He is called blessed or happy. By the way, this completes the thought that James has in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or various trials. Blessed, verse 12, is the man who endures those trials. So he's completing that thought. The blessing is when it is endured. Otherwise, the trial is a disaster. So the trial brings blessing when it's endured. The trial brings disaster when it is not. Do you consider yourself happy when you fall into various testings? No, we don't. It's not that we are so, it's not saying you need to be happy. It's just stating the fact. Blessed is that you don't have to go, okay, I'm supposed to be happy. You are supposed to count it all joy, verse 2. But you are blessed when you endure that trial. That's the privilege. But then we see the prize in that same verse. And the prize is, when he is tried or proven, he shall receive. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now I want you to compare James 1:12, and keeping your finger there in that passage, go to Revelation chapter 2, where we also read about the crown of life, and it concerns the example of a certain church, the church in Smyrna. You will see that in the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is writing to them. He's having John write to them, and he commends, but always also chides, except in two cases. He does not chide this church. Look at this church, Revelation 2, verse 8. This is the church in Smyrna, and under the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be, out loud please, tried. Same word that we're seeing in James chapter 1. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a, out loud please, crown of life. For that trial, this church especially is an example of what will they will receive, the crown of life. And they're going through a lot of hardship, a lot of trial. That's just an example of the prize that is given. Note, the prize is not eternal life. That cannot be earned. That's not something that we can gain through human effort, but the crown of life. Those who endure trials are revealing genuine faith. It's one thing to be a Christian when everything is easy. It's another thing to be a Christian when everything's hard. It's easy to be in church. At least easier than being at work, where you're outside working hard and tiring yourself out. It's easy when your bills are paid. It's hard when you are strapped financially. This reveals a possessing Christian, not a professing Christian. The one who endures those trials. Because when he is tried, when he is proven, he is actually approved, he shall receive the crown of life. Notice this promise for those who have been approved. When he is tried, when it is shown that he's tried and true, when it is shown that he is genuine, he can anticipate a reward, but not until he has been approved. That reveals genuine faith. The verse closes with this, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him, for those who love him. The motivation for remaining under hardships should be our love for the Lord, not stoicism. I can do this. No, it's your love for the Lord. If your motivation is to prove that you can do it, your reward is lost. Is the Christian life hard? You could say that the Christian life is one long trial. It's one long test. What motivates you to keep on? If you love me, do what? So you keep his commandments because you love him. The prize, the privilege. James is really talking to some people who are undergoing a lot of problems and trials and tribulation. You look at the Jewish world today. You look at the Jews spread all over the world. You look at the Jews in the United States. You look at the Jews who are attending Columbia University. You look at the Jews who are attending Harvard. Look at the trials. If they were just Christians, this would be to them. If they were Jewish Christians. We suffer because we are Christians many times. But sometimes it's not just because we're Christians. And the world looks at us to see how we put up with the difficulties in life. Next time we're going to see what comes in verses 13 and following, the provoking. The provoking. You see, a test can turn into true temptation. The temptation is the easy way out of a test. How can a test turn into temptation? Well, let me put it this way. One illustration. You're taking your exam. You're taking your test. What are you tempted to do? Cheat. Tests can turn into temptations. That's what we're going to see in next week, Lord willing. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Lord, thank you that we have dwelling within us the Holy Spirit, which is, or who is, Christ with us. And thank you that you are with us in everything, that you are the comforter, the one who comes alongside. May we realize that we don't go through this alone. Even as we see the trials that people go through, our sister, Brenda Leisman, and what she is enduring, for our sister Kelly Hines and the loss of her mother, Lord, and then so many applications sitting right here in front of me this afternoon, the difficulties, the various trials that each one of us is enduring, Lord, may we endure because we love you and realize that you have something better for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dave, come and close us in a song, please.